Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So this is a big deal for you now.
Well, hey, listen. I know it is. All right? I was going to say something funny and I was going to say something clever and I decided not to because, yeah, it is a big deal. All right? Don't fuck around on this one, Francis, all right? Don't fuck around.
Because you are meeting... You know, they say don't meet your heroes, don't they?
Yeah, they do say that. They do say don't meet your heroes. But, you know, I feel like also... Today is that day where I'm going to do it. You know what? But also, the good thing about it is I honestly think, and I'm going to tell you a secret here, I think if you ask our guest today who his hero is, he'd probably say me.
I don't think.
Listen, I'm going to take a stab in the dark here. I definitely think if you asked him, come on, be totally honest, who is your hero?
Not Jonah Lomu?
No. He would say me. He would say me. Yeah, I just get that vibe. You know that vibe before you just know.
Not Martin Johnson.
No, not him either. Just me. Me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What do you have that Martin Johnson doesn't have?
Empathy.
Apart from quite a camp walk.
We have Danny Kerr on the podcast today, everybody. I'm super excited about this one. Very cool, because Danny and I have a very funny story about each other. I think if you listen to one of the podcasts before with Jason Roy, we spoke about it. He's coming on the podcast.
About a little troll.
a little troll who trolled him on Twitter, and and the little troll then had his comeuppance, and it was not so fun.
And then you tried to lie about it as well.
No, I didn't try.
You did try and lie about it.
Why do you want to put me in the shit? You were the one who said in the situation, you went, yeah, to be fair, Jamie, you did tweet it.
Well, you tried to say that your manager had been tweeting shade at England rugby players. As though that was in any way believable.
Listen, all right, before let's
all right, all right, management, I'm going to give you full rein to tweet whichever rugby player you want, whatever you want, because fuck it, I've got to get that engagement out there. How many did it get any engagement, that tweet?
I don't know, probably. Yes. Yeah. Danny's actually in the room at the moment. Yeah, he just said yes, it did. It got
is
a
it
lot.
Still up there, the tweet?
Probably, yeah. I probably haven't deleted it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Should I retweet it?
No, what?
Let's get it going again.
What we'll do, go onto our Instagram at Private Podcast. We'll find the tweet and post it on our Instagram, which will be hilarious. No, don't retweet it now. Right, everyone, before we get into it, please subscribe to the podcast or these things you love. Listen, Danny's one of those legends, so you're going to love this one. Especially if you're a rugby fan, you're going to love it. If you're not a rugby fan, you're still going to love this one because it's hilarious.
What's your Twitter, Danny?
No, Francis, we're still talking. Aren't we doing the intro?
Danny Kerr.
So also, we received some posts, which is really, really kind.
You got it.
Why is at Danny Kerr on the pitch? ...
Yeah, a little bit of traction.
I'll retweet it.
Please do.
Listen, this is all to come in the podcast. If you think we received some posts, which is very kind of you, and we received a lovely letter. So please... go and check out our Instagram, and go and check out the tags underneath, because it's an amazing campaign and we really want to help out, so please do that. Also, if you want to send us some more mail, please do, to Private Parts. Please send it to Private Parts Jamie or Francis. It's Print Rooms, 164 to 180 Union Street, London SE1OLH. That would be very kind. We'd love anything. But for now, ladies and gentlemen, my hero, Danny Kerr on the podcast.
Your voice, Dan. That's so loud. It hurts.
Danny Kerr on the podcast. Hey, Francis, I've been thinking about this before I came in. Who's your hero in life?
Probably... My dad.
Your dad's a hero?
Yeah, my dad's
okay,
a hero.
Okay, come on, let's go a bit deep in that. That surface-like hero.
Norm MacDonald.
Who's that?
Norm MacDonald, he's my favourite comedian.
Okay, he's your hero? He's your hero?
He's my one of my comedy heroes.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine, but who's your actual hero? Come on, let it out. Don't be shy, man. It's okay, you don't have to be shy.
Who is my hero? I guess I don't really have any heroes.
You don't?
No, I guess I like have people who I appreciate what they've contributed to the world, and I'd like to.
I'd like them
to appreciate what I'm contributing to the world.
So like me a little bit. Would I be up there as
well?
Yeah,
I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your, most of the time.
Well, when do you not appreciate it?
When you're doing all those steroids.
What? Danny, just sitting, coming from you looks enormous at the end of our table. You can't see us.
So, Danny, what we really wanted to get you here to was to talk about steroid abuse in professional rugby. I don't know if you can elaborate on.
We've had a few that have tried.
Oh, yeah?
Got caught out. And they're not seen again.
How is it? Are they good at drug testing?
Yeah, we have a lot of drug tests.
Really? Hey, we're going to get into this. I actually had a steroid injection the other day in my...
See?
No.
Every week he gets one. Finally comes clean.
No, I didn't have a steroid injection. I had a cortisone.
It must feel good to get it off your chest.
No, I don't feel guilty about it, because it wasn't one of the steroid injections that pump you up. It was a cortisone injection. Cortisol injection in my ankle to heal my foot. That's not a steroid injection.
Are you doing some rehab for your foot?
Yeah.
Are you doing it properly?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Every morning I wake up and I do this thing on my feet where I clench my feet together.
But you know, I'm serious. I think it probably is a result of those 6.5-inch concealed heels that you wear in your shoes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sort of details of our lives. Hey, I'm so excited today, because we have, honestly, one of my heroes, Danny Kerr, in the studio.
Hey, guys.
Oh, buddy, yes.
Hey, how are we?
You're calling him your hero now, but that's not what
you're doing. Yeah, it wasn't always the way.
Changes tune, sure.
Hey, let's, do you know what? Let's kill the potato in the room. Is that the same? Let's kill the elephant in the room. Danny, you know, we spoke on the podcast about this.
Well, let's address the elephant in the room.
Okay.
Let's kill the elephant in the room.
Let's address the whole thing, what happened. We had Jason Roy on the podcast today, great cricketer. And we spoke about the first ever situation where you and I met each other. And
I was there.
Yeah.
You were there.
It went really badly for me. It was not a good scenario.
No, he said, I actually like you, Francis.
Yeah, he just remembers that. That's all he remembers. That's all he remembers.
Hey, it's the same like Matt Horn. Seems to be a theme here.
Matt Horn also said he liked him on our podcast. So he didn't really like me, but he likes him. Danny, we spoke about the podcast. So, you know, this is why I'm a big fan of yours, right? And I'm going to be totally honest with you. So, Danny, you...
Because you didn't beat him up.
Yeah.
No, that's not even that.
We need to go through the story.
No, we need to go through the story.
Actually, take us back to when you saw the tweet.
Wait, let me explain first, and Danny, you can go your story. You can be the judge, Francis. Here we go. So, Danny, I am a huge England fan. I'm a huge fan of yours. And I was watching the Six Nations. Oh, I'm getting nervous, aren't I? Starting the Six Nations. Watching the Six Nations. I'm on the stand. Let's do this. I was watching the Six Nations and you were playing.
We were watching it together.
Mm. And as a really big fan, I thought it was a good idea at the end of the game to... England had just lost. I was angry. I was upset. And to offload my anger, I thought, right, who am I going to offload that at? I'm going to offload it at Danny Kerr.
The smallest one.
You're the smallest. So I thought. Offload it to the scrum half. Because I think what happened, England didn't play that well, but I think what happened, there was a last kick of the game or last play of the game, and I think you were the one who knocked it on. So it wasn't even, you know, that was this last play of the game. And so my anger went straight towards you. I tweeted you. Big mistake. Because when I tweeted you, I thought that was the end of it.
It's basically, funny that you actually atted him as well.
It was the atting.
I basically trolled you. Basically trolled you, Danny, after not only had you just lost, you also be furious, and then you go on Twitter with all the views, and then you see some reality TV star prick. So what is it from your side? So how did you feel?
So obviously, it was a Grand Slam game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Away in Wales. And we were poor that day. We were awful. I came on. I was awful.
I had like a 21 grand bet on.
I heard this, yeah. You said on the night.
Firstly, let's go. He didn't have a 21 grand bet on. He would have won 21
yes,
grand.
Yeah, sorry.
If England had won.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not that much of a... Like,
you could blame the front rower boys, mate. They got dicked that day. So I come on, didn't play very well, come off the pitch. Obviously, we're gutted. We've lost that on the Grand Slam. You go on Twitter, you play against Wales, you get in a load of stick anyway. And I actually listened to one of the pods where you were talking about social media and trolling and stuff
totally.
Like that. And it happens. And look, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And we, as rugby players, you do get a lot of shit. And then it was the one that, you know, obviously I saw one from you. Obviously I had a few, who the fuck, what's Danny Kerr doing? What's he kicking the ball out there for? And then it was, why is Danny Kerr even on the pitch?
Yeah, I said,
Was it why the fuck?
Yeah, I threw a curse word in there.
Yeah, you did.
And also, just like, you know, I was 64 kilograms at this point. I was really little. And I went, why the fuck is at Danny Kerr on the pitch, let alone in the squad? Said, no, just, you know.
Forgot about it.
Well, no, yeah. It was online trolling. I never thought I would see him. I never thought I'd see you, Danny. So you saw this, Danny, and you must have been like...
So that was the opposite for me. I thought, you know, I live in Surrey, you live in Chelsea. I go out a lot in Fulham, Chelsea way. I'm going to see you at some point. So I always thought, and I said to the boys, because the boys all said, have you seen what that fucking posh boy said said about you? And I was like, yeah, I have. And I said to the lads, like, if I ever saw you, I would say to you, will you say it to my face? That's all I said. I would never, ever be physically aggressive.
Nah.
I would never do anything like that. But I always said, and I'm listening to your pod the other day about the trolling and that, I think more people should meet the people that they
yeah. Totally, man. Yeah. Absolutely, without a doubt. Because Danny, do you know what's so interesting is that I sent that, right? And
I think there's a TV show in that.
There could be.
Yeah, let's make it. But Danny, it's so true. I sent that tweet out, right, without even, you know, just thinking. I was like, whatever. Forgetting about your emotions, anyone's emotions, I was just like pissed off. I thought, I'd never see you. I'd send it out, whatever. And then obviously what happened was is that we were walking down Wandsworth Bridge Road in Fulham on Halloween. Got, oi, boys, turn around. It was Danny Kerr and all his mates running towards us. I was like, oh my God.
It couldn't have worked more perfectly.
We'd
been on an all-day bender in fancy dress. I had three of the biggest lads with me, and Oogs, who is now your best mate, went, there's that fucker Jamie Lang who tweeted you, Danny. Right,
and his typical Hugo to egg it on. It's like a playground.
His exact words were, let's go and do him, right?
Hugo meant, let's go and have sex with him.
Let's go and have sex with him. You know, you look great. So we saw both of you. We saw both of you walking down. So I was like, okay, yeah, okay, we'll go and speak to you. And we came, and I have to apologise because I imagine it could have been fair. Those two of the lads are fairly big.
Well, I know. I thought I was going to die. That's the only time that I thought I was ever going to die. Yeah. I was like, here we go. This is it.
I think I was just quite excited to watch what happened.
So the best thing about the whole thing was obviously I said to you, I thought I'd see you at some point and I'd say to you, would you say it to my face? And you said, it wasn't me, my management tweet.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Fucking lied through his teeth.
And then I was like, no, you're a liar. And he was like, you're a liar. And then Francis goes, no, you did actually say that, Jay.
This is ridiculous. But do you know what? Fair credit to you, Danny, because it's so true, right? You said if you saw me, you would do it. You went and did it. That's fair enough. And, you know, shame on me for exactly
that. You say that like he would have been scared of you.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know what? You put your money where your mouth was.
Impressed you got balls, mate. You got balls.
But it's true. But, you know, people, there are a lot of trolling that happens online, and it's really bad. And some people are super damaged by it. Well, you know, there's loads of bullying. And, in fact, it's true. People, you know, you should be able to confront those kind of people. And I listened to an amazing story once from Scarlett Moffat, who I think I said this before, but she's
one of your heroes, isn't she?
She is one of my heroes. But she's a great girl, and she basically was bullied at school. And when she was bullied at school, she's bullied by this girl, and she was in Asda or something like that. She was shopping, and she came around the aisle, and she saw her person who had bullied her in her school, and she started to shake. Her inner child came out. She started to freak out. And as she walked past the person went, "Oh my God, Scarlett, come here. She said, "Oh, I've been telling my daughter how we're great friends at school and la-di-la-la and all these different things." Scarlett turned to her and said, "I hope your daughter never has to go through what you put me through. You bullied me from the start to the end, and I hope your daughter never has experienced that." She dropped the thing and walked out. And it was the fact that she then was like, "Oh my God, I stood up to this person who my entire life had made me feel shit." And there are so many people out there. So basically, Danny, me is that bully that always tormented you, that made you feel shit every day. You stood up to me that time, and I'm proud of you for doing it, buddy.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
But dude, you must have a lot of that because you've
played. What are you trying to say?
Oh no, but are you?
Oh no, I get a lot of shit.
Because man, the interesting thing about you, which I don't think a lot of people know, is that you were going to play football at one point, weren't you? You were going to play football for Sheffield United, wasn't it?
Sheffield Wednesday, yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday.
So I did both. I did both growing up, and then I had 3 years at Sheffield Wednesday. Same team as Jamie Vardy, who's obviously gone on to 100 grand a week. He's doing all right.
Jesus. Was he that good when he was younger?
Well, we were similar, both small for our age. So we were stuck on the wing, and new academy manager came in and said, you guys are too small. You're never going to beat the likes of Man United and all that sort of stuff. So
what, just because you look at Messi, look at people like this.
Exactly. But this academy manager at the time was more about physicality and size. And at that point, I was pretty small, pretty quick, but stuck me on the wing, or then was eventually just wasn't playing on the bench. And me and him were pretty similar on the bench a lot. And then I was travelling from Leeds to Sheffield 3 nights a week with my dad, not playing at the weekend. And I said at one point, look, I just want to play football. So I went back and played with my mates just at a local club. And then my mates at school all played rugby, luckily played rugby as well as football at school. They said, "Oh, come and play rugby." I kept saying, no, I'm going to be a footballer. And then eventually went the rugby route. So I kind of been told I was too small for football.
And then going to rugby.
Ended up in rugby, and it's kind of been nice, a bit of a point to prove, I think, for us little lads. Yeah. Obviously, in rugby's the best bit about it is it's for every shape and size. And
but is it, how good at football were you? Were you really good?
I was all right. My dad reckoned that if I'd have stuck at it, I'd have made it at some level. I don't know whether I'd have made it to play in the Championship or the Premier League or anything like that. That would have been the absolute dream, but. You know, you look at Jamie Vardy, he went all the way down the leagues.
He was found from nowhere.
Yeah, so after Sheffield Wednesday, I think he left. He went part-time. He was working in a cinema or something like that, playing a bit of football on the side, and then worked his way back in. So I think there'll be so many kids who miss out on all sports. Maybe at some point they just get a bit lost with it.
But that's the thing. What amount of, do you think a lot of it's luck? Because I feel like in rugby it's not luck. I feel like in rugby, if you're a good player, you get seen, you get heard, you get found out. Like, mentality and things come into it. But I think football...
It's all contacts, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all contacts.
You need luck, without a doubt, in sport. You need luck. You need to be, you know, playing well at the right time, or someone else has a bit of bad luck, gets an injury, you get an opportunity to play, you play well, suddenly you get a new contract. You know, contract times is massive. Lads are under a lot of pressure for a job, and then you have to play well.
You've got to be prepared for the opportunity as it presents itself.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to always be ready, but there is timing, injuries, obviously massive. You know, I missed out on a World Cup week before getting injured.
Mate, I want to get into that. Fuck.
So, back in 2011, this one I got dropped way before I got injured, so
I mean, we'll get into, like, things like that, but that's the toughest thing about sport, right? Because in, like, jobs and life, right, I suppose when you, not saying you got fired, you didn't get fired, but when you get fired in a job, it's like, you know, you're fired for a reason. And I suppose in sport, yeah, but sport is so, you're so...
It's just brutal.
You're so on the edge all the time. You're so on the edge. You get an injury. Someone plays an amazing game. So mentally, it's freaking exhausting, right?
It's an emotional rollercoaster. I think that's the only way to describe it. We get some unbelievable highs, you know, playing with your best mates, winning a game.
In front of that many people.
In front of 80,000 at the weekend, playing for England. It's the most incredible feeling in the world. And then the week later, you get beaten by Wales. Everyone thinks you're a twat. and you're literally so low. So that's why I think having good people around you is key. Friends, family, my wife, my mum and dad, those type of people that...
They keep it all in perspective.
Kid and one more coming on the way, like... I go home and that is massively perspective for me. Like, rugby isn't...
Okay, Danny, you're a family man. We get it. yeah, we get it, man.
I love my kids.
Just really love the Bible and hate poverty and love my kids. But, dude, Danny, the thing about you, I mean, like you said, you play football. You're a sportsman from the beginning, right? You grew up in... This is what... By the way, you and I have something very... We're very similar. We're very, very similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Danny grew up in Leeds. I went to Leeds University. Both from the north.
Did you know?
Yeah, we're both in the north, mate.
Where did you reside?
Hyde Park.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. God, it was great.
Yeah.
It was
a good crack up there.
Oh, man. My God. Francis, you wouldn't understand that.
I've been up to Leeds.
Yeah, but you weren't part of Leeds. I was in with the Leeds crowd.
Leeds.
Yeah. Fuck, I just loved it. so that's why we're very similar in those ways. And also you played England 16, 17, 18, 19. You played throughout the entire time. And the weird thing is you played football but then suddenly switched to rugby.
Yeah.
Were you one of these guys who like the Neville brothers who used to play cricket? You just pick up a ball, pick up a rack and just do it?
I love sport and my mum and dad always just gave me the opportunity to play as many sports as I wanted and then kind of let me choose the one that I like the best to kind of take forward. So...
It's like Francis with instruments.
Yeah. How many instruments do you play?
I've played pretty much every instrument. I played the saxophone, trumpet, violin,
I would love to be able to play the saxophone.
Yeah, the saxophone is a fun instrument.
Yeah, but now we were, Danny, not when we were younger. Now we would see a piano in a bar and be like, oh, I wish I could play that.
Yeah.
When younger, you just...
Oh, no, but now...
You were a loser.
No, but what I did was... I was never a loser. But what I did do was now it's quite nice because I can go and pick up a saxophone and I understand where I can sort of play around a bit. If I wanted to, I could get a trumpet and get good at the trumpet in a shorter period of time because I've got built a little foundation.
Yeah, but Danny, also with you, man, is there, you know, were you always going to play sports? Was there anything else?
I think so. Yeah, I think I obviously grew up. I wanted to be a footballer, but if someone had said, "Oh, you could be a rugby player," I'd kind of taken it. I think a lot of rugby players are failed footballers anyway because we all want to play football.
Really? Was it? Yeah, because Hugo Monty, a good buddy of mine, and yours. He wanted to play for Arsenal. That was his. His dream. I don't think he would have been good enough, though. No way.
His first touch is awful. Honestly, awful.
But so what do you think? So do you think it's the money?
I think it's more... For me...
Because rugby, I think, is a funner sport.
I mean, rugby is amazing. Look, it's given me, you know, an unbelievable life so far.
But you get battered.
We do get
battered. Every day you're getting battered. Where footballers, you can kind of pass the ball around. It's a lot more of a lighter sport. And in a sense, you're paid more. Rugby is... It's higher risk.
I think that's the bugbear for rugby players is, I mean, look, we get paid well. We get paid, you know, lads get paid very well. But, you know, you see the footballs and the disparity between the two. But I completely understand that football's a way bigger sport over here and it's, you know, TV rights, everything is massive. And so me growing up, I wasn't really that bothered about rugby. I played it because I was quite good at it. It was quite quick. But football was the one where I was desperate to be a footballer. But then I kind of fell in love with rugby a bit more. We went on a lads and dads trip when I was 16 to Dublin.
What's a lads and dads trip?
So the dads come along on the tour with you. So we went to Dublin, just had 2 days.
Do you going
to
get hammered?
And we played rugby and got hammered at 16. And I was like, oh, you can do this.
And go to strip clubs with your dad.
Yeah, maybe.
I went to a strip club with my dad once. It's really awkward. It's just really like...
Was it a gay strip club?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's just no it
answer,
leads.
No answer. No
it, leads.
Yeah,
yeah. It leads.
Purple,
I went to
purple,
one of yes, Daddy. You know well. I went to that. So you went on this. You went on this trip together, and you were like, right, this is it. So you went. What happened?
It was like just. I think just the team sort of bond and the morale of it. Like football, I loved football, but I'd never experienced anything like that. Where you know the dads would come on tour with you, watch the game, and then you go to a bar and have a few beers. And I thought, like, this is pretty cool. And everyone got on so well in rugby. It's a massive team sport. I think it's obviously football is a team sport, but
I think football is more like a team of individuals, right?
Yeah.
Like, and they're very much in it for themselves, really.
Yeah.
Even
I think, and it's hard to not be with people being on like £300,000-£400,000 a week.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy money. It takes everything out of it.
Yeah. It's all being paid differently as well.
I know.
Is it the same in rugby?
You get paid differently. So obviously, when you play for England, you get extra money. So that's on top of playing for your club. But there's a little. No one really knows what other people.
France
are
is about to say how much.
Yeah. Ballpark figure.
Ballpark figure. No, nowhere near your. Yeah.
But Danny, I'm one of these people. Whatever you can get paid, go and get paid. So footballers, if you can get paid,
100%.
Go for it. Whatever. But it does take kind of a lot out of it, and it makes people individual, and it creates a lot of hazy areas. But I think more importantly for you, and if we go really deep into it, you know, rejection in life is really hard, right? It's a really hard thing to deal with, and kids
should know, really.
I dealt with rejection actually from girls occasionally when I was younger.
Not recently.
Not recently. And
so you're on fire now, aren't you?
Yeah, baby. I'm going to have kids on the way soon. But dude, the
really?
Not really.
Elaborate on that?
No, I'm not going to have kids soon. I don't think.
It's a lot of practice.
Oh, dude, a lot of practice before it happens. But with rejection, right? The fact that you couldn't play football, that you were told you're too small and you could, that is like, and you must have been, what, 16 years old?
15.
15 years old to deal, you know, 15 years old, you want to be a footballer, that's all you want to be, and you're told you're not going to do it, pretty much. How do you deal with that?
I think it was just the fact that I still enjoyed playing rugby was great, that I could just go, okay, well, I'll kind of focus on that one now. And I had an option to go for Leeds and have a trial there and maybe try again, but I was a bit done with the sport a little bit, and I think I was having a bit more fun playing rugby with my mates at school. And then I joined Otley, the local club up north as well.
Do you ever do the Otley run?
I did do the Otley run.
Oh my God, the Otley run. Francis, you wouldn't have done this, mate.
No.
Nah, you wouldn't have been on it. It's where you go onto every pub on the Otley Road. It's called the Otley Run. Wow.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I didn't get that far.
There's some sights. You see some sights.
So were you ever not allowed in any teams because you're too small?
Do you know, for me, I've said this before, I played a lot of rugby and then I damaged my knee, my ACL ligament, and I wanted to go and play pro and all these different things, but I never would have made it. In all honesty, I never would have made it. And it was a complete blessing in disguise, because I would have tried to do it, I would have failed, and a lot of, you know, I know guys who are like playing, you know, Portsmouth second team, and you know, and it's a bit demoralizing, and you kind of, your dream didn't quite make it.
When did you stop then, when you got injured?
Yeah, 17 18. Okay. When I was on tour in Italy, and I did it, then I just and I stopped. And after that, I kind of, like you with football, it kind of it's weird, you know, when you're kind of the sort of star in a sense, everyone loves you. As soon as that go, what are you laughing at, Ross?
You trying to say you're the star?
I was the star at school, buddy. I was the star. But when that's taken away from you, and like because of an injury, you're immediately forgotten. And so I kind of, I hated the game. Fall out of love with the game, baby. I fell in love with it. But it happens that way. Yeah. And but then the next time I played is when I did that rugby aid game. Brad Thorne.
Brad Thorne, yeah.
Fucking 6 foot ten. What is he doing?
He was taking that a bit too serious, wasn't he? Everyone else was kind of...
Then he cracked my ribs. He took me out.
Do you think, was this before or after the tweet?
That was after, so I actually very much enjoyed seeing Brad Thorne nail Jamie. Yeah, I did enjoy that one.
But so you're a young guy. You're playing rugby. You've played for Leeds for a bit. You're then at Harlequins. All these different things. It's 2008, and you get your call up to England.
Yeah,
you're 20 years old.
21, I think. I just
21. You're 21 years old.
So how does it work? Is it just scouts, or do you go to trials?
So for proper England, yeah. Obviously you're playing for your club, and then. They kind of, if you're playing well for your club, you know you've got a chance. Martin Johnson was just been named manager, so.
Did you know him at the time?
Not really. I'd have said hello to him every now and then, but I was scared of him before I met him, and more scared.
He's a big guy.
Is he scary?
He's a monster.
Is he really?
He is, but at the same time, he's a really nice. Yeah. Quiet bloke away from
yes, Danny, you're a family man, we know.
I love Martin Johnson. But yeah, I think I got a call just to say, you're going to go on tour to New Zealand with England. And I'd had a fairly decent season with Quins were playing really well at the time. A few Quins got selected, so it was amazing to go down there, and an amazing place to make your debut. Daunting place.
But what happens? Do you get a call? Like, how does it work?
Back in the day, you used to get a call. So
you pick up the phone.
Martin Johnson's number would be ringing, and you shit yourself, and then answer it, and you know he'd say, "Yeah, you're selected for England." And you get,
fucking hell.
Thanks, Martin.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
See you.
See you, sir.
Well, these days, it's one of them. Once you've been in the squad for a while, if you get a call.
Oh, then it's bad news.
It's bad news. Ooh. So when you see Eddie Jones's number on your phone now,
have you had that?
So I had that one before in the summer. I was on holiday with my family, and
did your heart just sink?
Yeah, as soon as you see his name, you quake. Yeah, it's such a weird feeling because obviously he's quite a small man, but he's very powerful, and he's quite scary.
And he's really like efficient.
He is. So the one thing with him, he's always open and honest. So that's what any player would prefer. You don't want someone to chat a load of bollocks. Just tell you it straight. And he just said straight, "You haven't played well enough. You don't deserve to be in the squad."
What would you have said, Jamie, if you were gonna drop Danny Caff?
I would have tweeted you. Yeah, I would have sent an owl. Like, anywhere I would get out of it. Hey Danny, I would have DM'd you. Hey Danny,
bad news, you're out.
Man, I don't know. I think if I was, I would probably phone you up, and then it would probably end up you coaching the squad and me quitting because I wouldn't be able to do it because I'd be too, just fold under pressure. I think you're right, though. But man, that is, it's tricky, right? Because at some point in a person's career, that will happen to them. It doesn't matter whoever you are, right? Yep. It doesn't matter if you're, it doesn't matter if you're Cristiano Ronaldo or you're Danny Kerr or you're Lewis Hamilton. It doesn't matter. At some point, that's going to happen. And that's quite tough to deal with, right? Because, you know, that's what you want to do. You want to play rugby. So how do you kind of deal with it?
Yeah, I've been dropped a lot in my time. So you kind of get used to it. I think as you get a little bit older, you kind of put things in perspective a bit more, as I said earlier. When you're young and it's rugby, 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 it's all you want to do. And you get told, "Oh, you're not good enough, or you're not playing this week." That was hard to deal with sometimes. And I moved down to London when I was 19 and wasn't getting picked for Quins. You know, moved from Leeds. It was kind
That's so young, mate. 19 is baby.
Yeah, big move. It was a big move for me, away from my family. Like I love
there is family man.
A family man.
Yeah, just love Martin
just
Johnson.
Love my mum. Honestly,
miss my mum.
But there were times where. I'd do all this training all week. I wouldn't get picked, and I'd be sat in London on my own thinking, oh, So I drive home a lot. I drive back to Leeds and have the weekends at home, drive back dead early Monday morning. And that was quite tough. I think when you get a little bit older, things put into perspective a bit more. Rugby isn't everything. There's more to it. There's more to life than that. And it is a job. It's a job for us at the end of the day. It's not our life. It is a job.
But that's hard to separate, right, at the beginning when you're young.
It is, because you're just thrown into it. And, you know, at the time when I started rugby, it was, you can't really fit uni and you shouldn't go to uni, you know, give rugby the whole shot. Looking back, I wish I'd have gone and done something like
but
that.
But you did, you went to Loughborough, didn't you? I thought you did do something at Loughborough.
Don't rub it in.
Sorry, yeah.
No, I wish I did.
I thought you got a first at Loughborough.
If they want to give me one of those honorary ones, I'll happily take one.
But Danny, you know, on the podcast, and I think what's amazing is that people open up about these things. You know, France and I have done as well, and perhaps you've never felt it, but especially as sports people, there's a lot of talk about anxiety and things like that within sport because of the pressure to always be the best. Have you ever experienced stuff like that or experienced teammates like that and things like that?
Yeah, I've lost a couple of good mates to suicide throughout my career.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it happens a lot in young men. I think the surveys are saying, and especially in young sportsmen and in rugby players, a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of talk about it at the moment.
It's the biggest killer of men under 30.
Under 45, yeah, under 45. Yeah.
Which is crazy. I know you kind of always think, could you have helped in any way, you know, and you kind of look back and would a text have saved a life, would a phone call have saved a life? You don't know when this is going to happen.
But it makes you realise how important it is to, you know, hear people out, speak to people and, you know, check the well-being of those around you, because you never know what's going on behind people's, behind people's facade, the face they put on, because, you know, people are going through all sorts of stuff.
Shit, Danny, I had no idea about that. That's really intense. How do you, when something like that happens, right, like, because also I assume, you know, that the reason why this happens to a lot with males is because we firstly, guys don't really like talking about things because we think it feels weak. That's the first thing. Secondly, we're all incredibly insecure. We don't want to say that we're insecure. But, you know, especially with something like rugby, which is a very macho sport, surely no one wants to speak out at all about it, because why would you? It's weak, you know, because everyone knows about the kind of tough man side of rugby and, you know, drink this and, you know, be like that. And that's what sort of the old school rugby is like. Is it, how do people open up, or do you just have to, because you're all mates, right? So yeah, it's hard.
That's the problem, as you said, Francis. You don't know what's going on behind people's, you know, but behind closed doors. And I think a guy who was in the Leeds Academy with me, Kiernan Mile, has just retired from playing for Wasp, had, you know, 12 years in the Premiership. He's just come out and said that last year he got to a point where he climbed over a balcony in Dubai and was about to jump, and one of his mates, the one another rugby lad, grabbed him, threw him back in, kind of, what you're doing, and he just broke down. And it's the first time he'd ever spoken to any of the boys about it, and he said he'd been living with it for 10, 12 years of his professional career, that he just felt there was so much pressure on him the whole time to perform.
Well, that's the thing, because people just feel like they have to deal with all these things themselves, yep, but no problem is too big that it can't be dealt with together with people, you know, with people around you. You know, you're never really on your own if you actually reach out for...
Perfect timing, Francis.
Sorry.
They need to talk.
Maybe they need to talk.
Yeah, yeah. Fred?
No, you can't.
Fred, you're just on the podcast now.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, you're live with Danny Kerr.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Fred.
Oh, Danny. I never knew I was so excited for this, but now I'm here.
Is that Fred, the guy with the great hair?
Yeah, that's him.
His luscious locks. I'm so jealous.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, well, I'll leave you guys to it.
Okay, Fred. Bye, buddy.
See ya.
See you, mate. Bye. Love you.
Love you.
So it's never, well, I suppose I'm speaking also to the listener. If you're having problems, just speak to people, because it's no problem is too big that it can't be solved with the help of those around you.
But also, because I find all this so interesting, because I watched this documentary, this cricket documentary, right? And I mentioned this with the Jason Roy episode about being on the edge. And I think in sport, everyone is on the edge, you know, physically always on the edge because you're getting injured all the time. You know, we haven't even spoken about your injury at the moment. But mentally, you're always on the edge as well, because freaking hell, people, you know, you kids, right? They grow up to go, I want to be, you know, all kids now want to be a footballer, or you want to be a sportsman or an actor. It's like they want this kind of credibility and like, oh, I want to do these things. But in fact, it's not an easy road. It's a really freaking tough road to be in, and the pressure to always remain in it's hard. Do you think that you're going to stay in the rugby world whenever that time finishes or whatever, or do you think you'll go and do other things?
I'd really like to stay involved with the sport. It's given me so much. I'd love to stay involved with it. Coaching, I don't think is really my bag. They work a lot harder than we do. So I'd try and.
I think you'd be a great coach.
I think I'd probably like it. My son's just started playing rugby under fives, Cobham. And you know the lads,
such a family man.
I really am. And all the dads around, the coaches, like, if any of you guys want to. Danny.
You're told to ref all the games.
So I'm going to have to do something down there, I'm sure. I've kind of kept myself to myself because my foot's been bad. But I'm sure.
Have you got plantar fasciitis as well?
No. Danny's out with injury.
I tore a ligament down here called the deltoid ligament in the bottom of my ankle. Yeah, so I just followed me in training.
Oh, that happened to me in the British Nationals.
It's called the deltoid or the steroid ligament. The steroid ligament.
But it was the day before we had a team trip to Ibiza, all expenses paid by the club. And everyone said this was on the Wednesday. Whatever you do, lads, don't get injured.
And your missus broke your foot.
Honestly, you've never seen a happier woman in your world. But one of the lads fell in it. Yeah, snapped the ligament. That's me out of Ibiza.
And, God.
Yeah, surgery the week after. Did you have surgery with yours?
You can't. You can't do it. You just have to let it. You just have to let it. Hold on 1 second. Just remind me. With my one, you just have to let it go. You can't do anything about it. You just have to do it. Also, I just want to ask, because I just so intrigued this. When you have your first England cap, right, when that moment comes and you get that call up and you go, shit, here we go, and you walk onto the pitch, who was your first test against? Who was against?
So I was away in New Zealand.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I've never shat myself.
That before. Is intense. Oh, my God.
When they're doing the hacker,
when they did the hacker, I was like...
This is real.
And this was like Richie McCaw, Dan Carter, Mar Nonu.
Oh, the heyday.
Rodney Soialu, like some scary looking boys staring at me. And me being the young 21-year-old scrum half, and they're going, looking forward to this, mate.
Oh, no.
And, first cap was off the bench. I got 20 minutes off the bench. And the second one I started, and we got absolutely humped, 40-odd something. But I managed to score a try, a little quick tap, scored in the corner. So it was an unbelievable experience, an amazing place to make a debut. Very humbling because we got annihilated. And it was just amazing to see New Zealand, the country that is rugby, loves rugby, it lives and breathes it, to go and play there to make your first cap was special.
But mate, you've done, 82 caps?
84.
84, man, that's amazing. That's unreal.
Yeah, I'm obviously incredibly proud of having 84. I'd have liked a few more. And some are from my own doing that I didn't make the rest, but it's one of them. I hope that there's going to be another chance to wear the shirt again. Obviously, gutted to not be in the World Cup squad, but it's amazing to see how the boys are training so hard. They've worked so hard for this. This has been a long 4 years in the making, and I generally think they've got a good chance of bringing the cup home.
Oh, dude, we're going to talk about that. Right, we're going to stop there for the moment because France...
Maybe I'll put another bet on.
Yeah, put another bet. Your 21 grand bet or whatever it was. All right, Francis, we've got to have the question of the week, buddy. What is the question? How do you forget? We've done like over 200 episodes and every single time you forget moment.
No, it's my phone, obviously. I turned it off.
Oh, yeah, that's the reason. Okay, we're going to have the question of the week. Danny, I don't know if you know this bit, but we basically ask a question, we have to guess it.
Perfect.
You going to do a rugby one, Francis?
Yeah, I'm going to do a rugby one. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Okay then.
Okay then, here we go.
Eric, are you guys ready?
Oh, you bet ya.
Anytime.
Danny, you ready?
I've been ready for
okay.
a while.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Who was the between whom was the first international rugby match?
Oh. Come on, Danny, you know this. Come on.
I'm going to say England.
England
and Wales.
England and Wales.
England and Wales?
Or England and Scotland.
I reckon first international.
International, the first international.
Yeah, it's got to be England. I think I'm going to go England-Scotland. It's got to be that.
All right, well, we'll find out in part two.
All right, guys, you know, at this point normally in the podcast, I would read out my diary. However, we receive a lot of mail, a lot of different things, and so I thought I would read out a little message, which is very heartfelt, and because we've been talking about different things, and Danny shared that amazing story about his friends and all these different things, I thought I'd read this out from a person who sent us this letter. It says, "Dear Francis, Jamie, and Private Parts team," and of course you,
lovely
Danny.
Lovely handwriting.
"We're writing because we'd really love to get your help with an urgent appeal to find a bone marrow donor for our colleague and very close friend Talia Tosin, who is just 24 years old. We're big fans of the podcast, and we're not going to lie. We're glad the dream team is back together now Francis has returned. We know this might be a bit different to your usual letters and parcels, but we're desperately needing to spread the word to help find a match for Talia. In April, Talia was diagnosed with acute
lymphoblastic leukemia,
a type of blood cancer, and at the end of August, she was informed that she now needs a bone marrow transplant due to chemotherapy being ineffective. Unfortunately, her sister isn't a match, nor is anybody currently on the Anthony Nolan register. Talia is of Turkish Cypriot descent, which makes finding her match more difficult. Her best friend match, her best possible match would be somebody of a Turkish or Greek Cypriot and ethnicity. However,
there is ethnicity.
Ethnicity. It's good.
Do you want me to read it?
No, I got it. However, there is currently a huge lack of Black, Asian, or minority ethnic BAME bone donors registered. Right now, she has only got a 20% chance of finding a match. From a stranger. But the more people we can make aware of the problem, the more we can get people talking and signing up. We need to diversify the donor register to try and help Talia and others find the life-saving stem cells she so desperately needs. We've created a campaign in order to raise awareness and encourage people to sign up to the Anthony Nolan register and hashtag swab for Talia. We're already enlisted the help of others, such as lots of different people who have shared the appeal on their Instagram stories, but we need as many eyes on this as possible. If you could share this with your listeners, we think this could be a huge help. The campaign we're going to put on our Instagram, so please go on to @PrivatePodcast, check it out. And they've enclosed some more information. If anyone can show the support, that would be absolutely amazing. You guys are absolute heroes, and Talia, we wish you all the best. But of course, we're going to put it on our Instagram and hope that things go well. You're an absolute hero, my darling. Right, guys, if you can go and check that out on our Instagram, that would be insane. I mean, just incredible. We got some other letters as well that we're going to open. Danny, we got a box, okay, that we're going to give to you to open up. It says fragile. It's just addressed to me, because if it's a bomb, you're going to get hit with it. Yeah. Okay, this is for you. We got a nice little parcel. We don't know what's in it. Danny, here we go. It says fragile, Danny. What are you?
Here we go, guys.
Okay, you can read it out.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, man.
You mentioned in a recent Private Parts you like to receive gifts, so I thought I would send you one of my designs for you and Habs. Hope you like it. Love, Anna. P.S. Francis has always been my fave, but I wasn't sure who he was going out with because he has so many. Who are you currently?
Yeah.
I'm not going out with anyone.
Why did you say that so awkwardly? Okay, Danny, what is it, man? Here we go.
Wow, here we go.
Oh, is that a little... Oh, it's a button picture saying, I think you're pretty cool. Oh, cool.
And Habs and Jamie are holding hands.
That's because I put on my Instagram with a picture of Habs saying, I think you're pretty cool.
That is so nice. That means you're probably going to get married.
Probably. Danny, listen, you don't have a... You're one of those people looking more in your stocking, isn't it?
I thought there might be more.
Anna, you could have just done one of me on my own. Looking in the mirror.
All right, everyone, we're going to be back in part two, still with Danny Kerr. Danny, you having a good time?
Great time.
Oh, man, I love you, buddy.
No, we're good now.
Dude, right? I fucking love you, man. Danny, I love you.
I fucking love you, man.
See you in part two, everybody.
Do you guys love me?
Yeah, love you, Francis.
All right, cool.
Hi. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.